call the roll.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Rip Robbins. A.C. Byrd. Ambrose Lane. Rob Robinson. He was here. Is Rob Robinson here? Thomas Ruffin. Lisa Davis. Ray LaForest.
Right here.
Okay. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Berthold Reimers. Evelyn Bethune. Sandra Rawline.
Here.
Okay. Wendy Schroll.
Here.
Michael Woodson. Lydia Brisson.
Here.
Okay. Margaret Prescott. Adelson. Dave, are you back? Well, I'm going to say he's here. Don White, are you still here?
Yes.
Okay. Mary's absent. Chandra's here. LaVarne Williams.
Present.
Sarv Randhawa. Lori Taguma. Okay, we have 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 board members present. Dave? And we don't have Dave.
So we have 9. So that means we're going to enter a committee of the whole, and this is being recorded. And other board members, John Almella has said that he can post this where other board members can listen to it. I don't want interviews posted publicly until all we've completed all interviews. As I emailed the board, we have one additional candidate that we didn't have when I noticed the meeting. She put her application in on the 15th, which was our deadline, so she's eligible. And what I want to do, I want to recommend that we spend 20 minutes interviewing each of them, and just so everybody understands, on Wednesday we'll pass a special rule of order concerning how we want to elect them, and we'll detail the procedure. But all we're doing tonight is interviewing them, and I'm hoping that people will agree to a format where we ask them to speak for about 5 minutes or so, and then we can just ask some questions. We can go around and ask questions. So is there any objection to 20 minutes each, 5 minutes opening statement, and then the remaining 15 for questions?
Am I muted?
Not anymore. Okay, look, what I want to do is I'm going to pick people's names out, and I want you to tell me a number between 1 and 7. Bob? Bob?
Yeah.
Okay, Wendy, give me a number between 1 and 7.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll say 4.
Okay, Don, can you get off mute and give me a number between 1 and 7?
5.
Okay, LaVarne?
Did someone say 7?
No.
7, okay.
Chandra?
6.
Sandra?
Did somebody say 2 yet? Okay, I say 2.
Somebody who I have, Bob, are you there? Ray, do you have enough voice to give me a number?
I'll do it. 3 or 1?
3, okay, and 1 is the last one. Okay, those are the numbers of the 7 people I sent out an email earlier today with a list of candidates. That's going to be the order we're going to interview them. I mean, I'll take that list and I'll take the 4th and the 5th and the 7th and the 6th. Okay,
Lydia doesn't have a question. Is she going to? Lydia is going to be number 1 question.
No. These aren't question orders. These are the order of the candidates.
Oh.
I sent out a list that had 7 names on it. So the 4th name on that list will be the first person. We'll do 20 minutes. We'll ask them to speak for 5 minutes, and then I'll just call on people for their questions. Okay. All right. So the 4th person on the list is Ryan Bruce. I'm going to call him, and
this is LaVarne.
Yeah.
Could you identify the station, please, with the call letters or something?
He's from KXCI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona. I'll be right back. Okay, everybody. On the line, I have Ryan Bruce from General Manager of KXDI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona. Ryan, the way we've agreed we want to do this is to have you give us up to 5 minutes opening statement. You can do less if you like. And then we'll just go around and I'll recognize people to ask questions. And for each answer, you'll have up to two minutes. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, great. So it's all yours. Let us know
what you think. Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure, go ahead.
Has everybody seen the email that I sent to you or no?
I've transmitted it to everybody. I don't know if
okay.
everybody read it, but they got sent it shortly after you sent it to me.
Okay. Okay. My name is Ryan Bruce. I'm the general manager at KXDI. I've actually just come to KXDI. I came from another radio station, WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, both which have sort of a long history with Democracy Now!, Free Speech Radio News, and a number of other programs. I've actually was most involved in the last 6 years or so in creating a relatively large local news program back in Bloomington. And that was involving a daily local news program of about a half an hour and then hour-long public affairs programs focused on different areas, GLBT issues and Spanish-speaking radio program and things like that. So coming to KXDI, been a little bit of a change, and our relationship is being in a bigger market. Of course, Democracy Now! Being probably our most popular, if not one of our most popular programs. And we have not actively participated a great deal in our affiliation with Pacifica. We've always, you know, sort of been a dues-paying member and things like that. But we've had some turnover here in staff. And what I was really interested in doing is becoming more involved in, because of my background at the NFCB and a few other national issues with regards to community radio. I really wanted to spend some time getting KXDI back involved with the national level of broadcasting and also letting people know that as an affiliate, what types of issues and what types of, just keeping good communication, because I actually walked into a situation at KXDI where we hadn't had really good communication, and I feel that's one of my stronger skills as an individual and as a manager, is to try to get people to sit down and talk with one another and find out things based upon what other people are saying rather than necessarily the way we seem to like it to do in community radio sometimes, which is innuendo and things of that nature. So I've spent a lot of time working that here, and I'd really like to sort of develop my the ability to talk to people, connect with people, and keep sort of affiliate relations on a high level for Pacifica. From my time in the NFCB, I know that that's a difficult thing with any national organization. I think it's a difficult thing. But I would hope that being in a major market and also having a radio station that's done a lot of really great national as well as local programming, that we can not only be a facilitator but also an example to other affiliate radio stations as well.
Great. Well, that's a wonderful statement, and it's open for questions. Who would like to ask Ryan a question?
This is Chandra Houtman from Berkeley,
KPFA.
And
actually, Wendy, since you're vice chair of the coordinating committee, I need you to chair for just a moment. I'm going to pop off the line and call each of the other candidates now that we have an order and a duration and a time and let them know what time they can expect the call. So I'll be back in
Dave, please mute before you start dialing, because we have the whole dialing, and it's
oh, really?
Very loud.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm going to do that on another phone line, because I have Ryan patched in. So.
Okay, great.
Thanks.
Yay for multiple phone lines for everybody. So this is Wendy. I heard a question for Ryan from Chandra.
Okay. Hi, Ryan. I'd like to know how familiar you are with the Pacifica Foundation and the operations of the board.
Well, I am fairly familiar, both sort of in a long-term history from working at the NFCB. I've had a lot of experience with working with Pacifica during my time in San Francisco, directly and indirectly. More recently, I keep sort of abreast via the various listservs, grassroots radio, and things of that nature. I've spent though a long enough time in the industry that I don't know that there's any specific thing that I do other than, kind of keeping abreast of what's going on with the organization and the industry. I mean, I'm familiar with some of the more recent happenings and of Nicole leaving and things of that nature. But I don't necessarily, as a KXEI, we've not, like I said, not been as involved on the national level. So I also don't have, I don't necessarily come with a lot of baggage either. During my time at the NFCB, I kind of got an interesting perspective on the organization, and of course in a much more turbulent time. That's primarily how I keep apprised of the organization.
Thank you, Ryan. Do we have another question?
Don White.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, thanks so much for being with us. As with all public radio,
why don't you identify where you're from?
Oh, Don White, KPFK, Los Angeles. As with all public radio and listener-supported radio, we're concerned about listener drop-off, sometimes losing listeners in a very competitive market where young people have a lot of options besides FM radio. Can you cite maybe one or two instances of programming that you've been a part of developing that has increased listenership and has excited you, focusing on a certain demographic like youth or something? Have you been coping with this whole issue of trying to build listenership, and have you come up with any ideas that you can possibly contribute as a board member?
Sure. Well, actually, Don, it's a good question because I coming more recently, I've just come to KXEI in the last 8 months or so, drawing from a longer experience of about 5.5 years at WFHB in Bloomington. I went from the NFCB to WFHB, and what I ran into was a station that had sort of falling numbers, I don't even want to say falling numbers, stagnant numbers. The group that had started with the organization had really stayed with it, but they hadn't really expanded beyond that. So within about a year, it took us about a year to plan out ultimately being involved with a new wave of programming that would not only speak to a larger audience, but more specifically go after some specific audiences. How do we, reach younger people? How do we reach certain demographics? I mean, especially within Indiana, it's kind of an interesting task in Southern Indiana to try to find, or try to have programming that is really truly speaking to a lot of groups that are not very well represented otherwise. And so we actually sat down, planned this out, and it was actually built around bringing programs, national programs like Democracy Now! And the BBC to the station. But really the core of it was to create this volunteer-powered news operation that would galvanize the listeners in such a way that the listeners weren't just listening, they were also participating in a lot of ways. We had only over 70 or 80 volunteers who had actually come in, and all were trained on news specifics and how they needed to respond to reporting situations and just all of the basic things, and were able to start a daily local news program, but also a program on GLBT issues, a program on the Spanish-speaking program, both are actually a bilingual program, and a number of other programs, including a lectures and public forums program and a local public issues program and an African-American issues program. And these were all done while they had a myself and a news director as executive producers were run by volunteers and, you know, a highly functioning 70 or 80 person news staff that were, you know, not getting paid for what they did. And it really opened up. I mean, we were primarily a music station that carried a little bit of news and public affairs, and it all of a sudden garners this huge support because all of a sudden we were speaking not only to small constituencies or minority groups that perhaps weren't well represented in broadcasting media otherwise, but we were also asking them to participate both in the programming and the feedback of how to create these programs. A lot of people were involved in the idea of bringing the program to fruition, but they weren't necessarily involved with the program once it got on the air. And so it was a great way to sort of create this two-way communication medium rather than, you know, sort of the nature of radio being only a one-way communication medium. As far as new ideas and new delivery methods, you know, I've been involved with some interesting methods. I don't think that they were very unique necessarily or unlike a lot of other stations, but when we did this, we also launched a very concerted effort to ensure that we were podcasting all of these programs and that we're actually getting RSS subscriber feeds for this so that we were sending it out to as many people as possible. And every time that somebody actually was on one of our programs, we were sending them those guests. We were sending them the links to the podcast. We were sending copies of the programs to them, so that it just kept this great cyclical process where people were highlighted on the program. They were given copies of it. They were given links to be able to forward on to other people. And it was just this very grassroots effort of making sure that the information that we were putting out there wasn't just going over the airwaves, but was also going out not just in a passive manner, but a very active manner to people who might not normally be listeners. So,
well, thank you very much.
Sure.
This is Wendy. Who's next?
I'd like to ask a question, if I may, Wendy.
Rob?
Yeah, Ryan, could you just speak briefly on, as a member of the PNB, what you would like to see, to work to see the network to accomplish, and what you would like to accomplish within the affiliate program?
Sure. Well, you know, one of the things, having the experience of being an affiliate in a few different situations, is that I feel like while the a really great job in a lot of ways, I would almost want to be proactive and help work with the staff that was doing affiliate relations and make sure that, again, the lines of communication were open. I feel like I'm a little isolated as a general manager of an affiliate where I don't have as much of an opportunity to talk to other affiliates, or I don't even have – it's not that that Pacifica reps don't make themselves very available to me, but I just kind of feel like a lot of what we're doing as an individual station is – recreating the wheel sometimes, where I feel like, you know, there's a lot of unified effort in a lot of venues for other programs where you get some materials or you get some support, but just even from other affiliates so that you know what they're doing and how they're handling certain things. Because it was really interesting to come from a separate, from another station where we handled, you know, Democracy Now! And the fundraising a totally different way than we do here. And I kind of found that my hope, I guess, would be in helping represent PNB on an affiliate level is to make sure that there was some additional outreach, that the board was actually, without stepping on the staff's toes, the board was helping out, making sure that one affiliate talked to another affiliate or at least had the opportunity to some forums to discuss some of those and also perhaps provide some additional support for building additional materials that would help make it possible to not recreate the wheel time and again. So,
by the way, I'm back, so I can do this if you like, Wendy.
Okay.
Lonnie's
okay.
on the phone now.
Lonnie, go ahead.
No, I'm just letting you know I'm here.
Oh, thank you. Okay, who else would like to ask a question?
Dave, this is Wendy. How much time do we have?
We have 5 more minutes.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Ryan, thank you so much. I appreciate your applying for this job. I don't know if it's so much a question as it is just trying to make sure. I'm going to ask this to every affiliate director, every potential affiliate director who applies, just to let you know that this job is going to be, there's 4 full weekend meetings per year where you will be expected to go to another signal area, which are, I guess you know them all. And that in addition to that, there are 4 meetings per month. Well, I'm sorry. There's at least 1 meeting per month on the phone. And those meetings have typically in the last year been held on Friday nights, although I don't know that the new board would vote for a different, they might vote for a different day. So there's at least 1 meeting a month on the phone, that, and the meetings have tended to, I hope this isn't true for the next year, but the meetings have tended to last 4 and 5 hours at a time, once a month on the phone on what has been Friday nights. Does that seem to be a problem for you? I mean, would that be a problem for you?
No, and I appreciate you bringing that up, because, I mean, I did have some questions myself and just what was expected, and I'm glad to hear. I thank you for giving me a summation of that, because it makes me feel a little bit better, too, about the process. It's just I want to make sure coming to a new town, I've kind of been I've limited myself in what I jump into, because I'm really interested in working in certain areas, and I don't want to take a responsibility that I don't feel I can be up to. And while that sounds, I know that's definitely a large time commitment, I don't think that would be too difficult for me, primarily because, for the good or the bad, I'm workaholic, and I tend to work really late until the middle of the night and have these, I'm really focused on work, and I really believe a great deal in what Pacifica does, and I really feel like if that's something that I can give some of my extra time to, that it's something that I want to make sure that I put the time aside and make that commitment to the organization, that it's, I've recently stepped onto a board for the city of Tucson, that deals with the PEG channels, and it was the same type of thing where there was a fair time commitment, but I wanted to make sure that I've seen the way that boards and committees work, and even just missing 1 meeting, I mean, obviously sometimes those things happen, but it really puts you back a lot, and I think that it's really imperative that, especially if you have meetings that are lasting 4 or 5 hours, especially on the phone, that you're not away from those meetings, because I think it would be really important to be able to keep apprised of that stuff. So I don't think my initial reaction to all of that is no, that it really wouldn't be a problem.
Well, we're about at time, so actually what I want to do is, Ron, give you a chance to ask. You said you had a question of us, so why don't you take the remaining time and ask that, and we'll try and respond, and then we'll have to go on to our next interview.
Sure. I guess I just thought of 2 questions, and I like I said, you kind of answered one of them, and that was just time commitment, and maybe as a second part of that, what the board was expecting from the affiliate rep, and then on, I guess the only other question that I would have would be primarily what, if anything, is there that any of you would feel like it was necessary to share with me. As somebody who was possibly stepping into a position like this, to be prepared for. So,
well, I'll take the liberty of answering on behalf of the board. In addition to the time commitment, one of the things that, and I'm going to be very blunt, we have had a fair degree of polarization. The polarization tends not to be so much around issues of policy, but around issues of who has what authority over whom. And so, unfortunately, what happens is when we get into those conflicts that are difficult to resolve, we tended to have spent a lot of time. We have, had, for example, this year we spent a great deal of time on questions of the executive director, status. And I think that also, you know, different people in the organization have very different points of view about how things ought to go and what authorities people ought to have. And so that is something that we've spent time on. We've also been sued in some cases by, I think they're not credible suits, and a couple of them have been dismissed. But we'll be spending time dealing with reactions to complaints and things that relate from, like, in our most recent election cycle, we had a number of complaints. So there are a number of things that are issues for us. We have a bylaws that are 4 years old now that are ambiguous on a number of points, and we don't exactly have a policy framework that answers questions of how a lot of different things should be done. And we have internally very different visions going on. And we have some financial strains in, due to the decline of radio listenership and the fact that we're not fully up and running getting listenership through other venues. So it's a difficult thing. In addition to time you'll spend in meetings, if you really want to be productive, you'll need to spend time on the phone talking to other board members. And ultimately, my hope is that each board member will spend a lot of time talking across the lines when they're polarized, as opposed to talking to people who see things strictly the way they do. And so that's my summary of some of the challenges. Also, with respect to the affiliates program, questions about that budget and how we service affiliates and our relationships will be something that will come up over the course of the year. And also questions about the programming that we provide, for example, our relationship with Free Speech Radio News, et cetera. So that's the nickel tour.
And, this is LaVarin. I'd also like to start.
Yeah.
Hello, my name is LaVarin Williams. I'm with KPFA, and I'm also treasurer of the board. And so the question that it's not really a question, but in response to your, in terms of what do you think that we would expect from you, is that, so it's kind of a question. So what experience do you have in terms of looking at budgets or planning budgets? And then I would probably have a follow-up related to date.
We're at time. We were at time. If you want to make a statement in answer to his question, we can do that, but we really have to move on.
That's okay, I can just very quickly just say yes. I've had a lot of experience as the general manager of two different radio stations, dealing with different size budgets from a little bit smaller now to quite a bit larger, and I'm very comfortable with doing that. It's actually one of my strong points. I feel very comfortable looking at numbers and crunching them. And as far as I would be prepared to do quite a bit of that, I guess, in my role. Of being able to look at that and give advice and help out in any way possible with regards to that. So.
Okay, thank you very much, Ryan. And
sure.
What we're going to do is on Wednesday, we'll be passing a special rule of order concerning how we're going to do this vote, because we're doing it earlier than we've done it in the past to accommodate the affiliates' request to have their members seated at the same time that the other members are. So we'll do that. And we'll have a balloting that will take a couple of days, so we should know the result of the balloting. There are 7 candidates total for 2 seats. We'll know that result in about a week and a half. We'll let you know, and if you're selected, then Foundation folks will contact you about travel arrangements to our board meeting, which will be January 25th through 27th in New York City.
Okay.
So thank you so much for your time and also for caring enough to throw your hat in the ring.
Sure, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
Take good care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Before we go on to the next one, he made a good point that we should allow him time the candidate's time to ask us questions. We took 25 minutes for him. Do we want to add 5 minutes to each candidate to let them ask us questions? And you should know that Lori Taguma didn't respond, and John Murphy's not available tonight. So we actually will have a little bit of extra time. Is that okay with people that we add 5 minutes for each candidate to ask us questions?
Absolutely.
I think it's great. Dave, can I ask a question?
Yeah, what do you need?
I heard that there are 6 candidates. Now you say there are 7. Who's the 7th?
I sent around, her name is Afia, and I don't, let me see if I can pronounce her last name. Let me go look at it. But she sent her, here we go. She's from WMXP Low Power, a Pacifica affiliate in South Carolina, Afia Nwangaza. She's the general manager.
You
so,
sent it today?
Yes. Hi, can
yes?
you hear me?
Sure.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. David, are you there?
David's
oh,
there.
Line. Oh, my God, it worked. Okay. So this is David Beaton, the program director of WSLR Low Power FM in Sarasota, Florida. And, David, we've added, so what we did last, for the last interview, we had up to 5 minutes for you to make your statement, then 15 minutes for us to ask questions of you, and then we'll close with 5 minutes where you can ask us a question and we'll respond. And we've got a ton of business to get through tonight, so I'll be a little snippy towards the end about time, but let me apologize for that in advance. So if you'd like to just open up and say anything you'd like, I did send the board your statement, and so if you could just let us know whatever you'd like about yourself, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. I don't remember what the statement said, so I'll just begin. I'm 50 years old. I was raised a white middle-class male in suburban Detroit. I have a BA in communication from Michigan State University. I went on to live in Chicago and start a video production company and got involved in politics there, and that's where I got my progressive roots. I joined the Third Unitarian Church in Chicago and worked on Harold Washington's campaign in a little in 83, and I was a field organizer in 87 for a award. By trade, I was a sound person. Started a video production company. My video production company is one of the, let's say, an integrated video production company, and is now currently the, I've left them, but they are currently the field team for Oprah Winfrey's Harpo Productions. And I moved to Florida. I made numerous trips to Cuba as a journalist and on other trips and worked on a couple of documentaries while I was in Cuba. I did a documentary on AIDS.
Yeah, hi,
Cuba.
This is Margaret Prescott. Sorry, I'm so late.
Margaret, we're in the middle of an interview. This is David
Oh,
Beaton.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
And let's see. So then I came back to Florida, and I ran a couple of House campaigns. I've been a campaign manager for a couple of House campaigns here, both of which had failed, but both did very well. Let's see. I started radio in college. I was a board op for an NPR station, then went on to student radio in college. I did college work at William & Mary and at Western Michigan University. And I guess a couple statements. I think this is a really critical time for us to bring folks back to radio. A lot of people are leaving radio due to technologies. And it's a critical time for Pacifica to play a greater factor in helping set the national agenda. It's also a critical time for the affiliates, the development of the current affiliates, as well as bringing on new affiliates after this full power window that was just closed. I've taken WSLR from 2002 from being just an application all the way through to today. I was a founder. I was the second chairman of the board for the last 4 years, just became the program director. I'm on a part-time paid position now with WSLR. For the last 12 years, I taught film at the local community college here and developed a film program. I believe in, I really being a campaign manager, I really believe in making a plan and then working the plan. And you need a vision of where we want to go and what is necessary and then work towards it. Of course, as a radio person, the number one thing is to stay on the air at all costs and then try to make everything else fit. I worked for Pacifica this past summer and worked in the South, worked with Ursula, and I did Florida, Georgia, and got, I think, 4 or 5 maybe applications submitted by community groups. That's all.
That's fabulous to have done that. Thank you. And by the way, I neglected to say thanks for being willing to throw your hat into the ring. So with that, it's open for questions. Who would like to ask David a question?
I would like to ask the same question I asked previously. This is Chandra Houtman from KPFA in Berkeley. How do you do? And I'd like to know what your familiarity is with the Pacifica Foundation and its board.
Well, my familiarity with Pacifica, I've just been familiar with them for years by the affiliates that I've listened to wherever I live. But more importantly, I guess I live in the Tampa area, so we got WMNF. That's kind of our sister station here, and so I was familiar with Pacifica and the struggles that Pacifica went through as WMNF played a part as being a free speech radio news outlet and keeping the listeners posted as to what was going on at Pacifica. I visited your website. I know about Pacifica's history and where they come from and that kind of stuff. And I've been at the last 2 GRCs and, you know, met with people from Pacifica there. So that's my familiarity with Pacifica. I have a problem with Pacifica. We became an affiliate as soon as we were able to become an affiliate.
Great. Anyone else?
Don White.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, first of all, I'm very impressed that you were part of Ursula's team. That was an incredible initiative around those signals that opened up. And so thanks so much for being a part of that team. You mentioned something in your opening statement about the decline in listenership across the board in public radio, listener-supported radio. I just wanted to ask you, because this is a big concern of this board, to somehow build listenership at all 5 of our stations. Can you cite any ideas or projects that you're familiar with that or have been involved with that have built new listenership through some kind of targeted program or some kind of a concept that excited people and drew listeners to their station? Because this is an issue that we're facing now with reducing listenership in many signal areas.
Don't have an answer to that. I can tell you what my experiences have been, and it's something that we're going to be facing for a long time. And I've really stressed here, as because we're an LPFM, my stress has been really that it's as much about the programmers as it is about the listeners. And the more programmers we get, the more we get the community involved. We have over 100 programmers. We're looking at having 125 by the spring. The more those people involved, the more people in the community are involved in listening. We podcast our news that we do here locally, on our local news shows and a couple other shows, and we're going to be expanding our local news to be able to podcast. I think we have to offer other alternatives. Of course, we stream online. We're going to do a couple blitz this spring in neighborhoods of the city that we're in, just door-to-door. We're going to tie it in with the voter registration drive. We're very visible in the community, and I think that's really important to become visible in a lot of different aspects of the community. Sarasota is considered the arts town of Florida, so there's a lot of things going on, and we try to be visible as many of those events as we can. Not necessarily that they're in the right political forum for about, but just that we are going to be there and be present. Getting listeners back, I think, is going to be a problem. Getting the younger generation back. The younger generation, of course, hasn't really been listening to radio that much.
Preparing to hibernate. What happened?
Margaret?
Sorry.
Margaret? Yeah, thanks.
Sorry.
You can mute yourself with Tom Pound 1.
I'd like to ask a quick question. What is the relationship between your management and your board at the radio station? What are the what needs improvement, and what are your thoughts on that relationship in a larger organization?
Hey, that's a good question. That's a question that we're working with. We have right now two of the founding members, myself and the station manager, were both founders. And so we're also now ex officio members of the board. I think for this development here, we're very different than a lot of other OPFMs. We're fortunate to be able to develop quickly and with some resources. So I think the question I can't really answer, because it's going to be this next couple of years is going to shake that out. We're trying to get enough money to have a public affairs person on here. But it's critical, you know, to have a really good relationship between your board and your management, and that there's complete transparency from both. We did have some board situations early on where I've had to remove a board member when I was chairman, and we tried to do that with great discretion. And, you know, there has to be complete transparency, and all dialogues need to happen among everybody. I send out my emails, go to everybody that's on the board, any of my communications. My communications are always open to anybody. It's so important. Different things start happening. Different people start suspecting or thinking other things are going on. You have to be completely transparent. And then same way with the programmers, being the first time, you know, I've been a programmer in my life, but never a program manager. And so it's the same thing. When an issue is being discussed by the board after the board meeting within, you know, however many days, when I see the programmers, I immediately talk to them and address them about what's going on. So that, not that any decisions are made, so that they're not, when a decision is made, that it's not like a complete surprise. So I try to keep people informed all along the way. We have a newsletter that comes out quarterly. Our meetings, of course, are all open to the programmers and to the public. So it's, you know, boards are tough, you know. People come to it with a lot of different things. Hopefully everybody has the same vision and understands the direction where everybody's going. Well, we've done visioning here. We've done, we do annually a retreat, and I think it's really good to take a half day and just everybody get on the same page, you know, come up with a statement, a vision. One retreat we did a mission statement, the other retreat we did our visioning statement. So it's critical that everybody buys into that.
Thank you. And who else? Mute is #1, so if you want to get off mute, #1. If there's not another question, then I'll ask one. Okay, I'm not hearing anything else. So on that point, and it's a point question made by other people, the communication thing actually takes a lot of time. We have 4 in-person meetings a year that run from Friday at about 9 a.m. typically till Sunday at about 4 p.m., We additionally have monthly teleconference meetings of the board, and in addition, there's committee work. On top of that, there's a need to be in community. Despite what you've said about emailing everybody, there's still a need for personal conversations to fill in and figure out where you stand and whatnot. That time commitment, is that something you're going to be able to contribute the needed time to? And related to that, any comments on your patience or impatience with board processes?
Okay. I'm here today because I make that time commitment. So I anticipate that that's what's going to take. I'm a real big believer in the democratic process. I also like to get things done. Sometimes those things are conflicting. In fact, many times those things are conflicting. But we have to always remember that the process is more important in many respects, that everybody that everybody participates in the process. We can get to the outcome, and we will get to the outcome, but we've got to have a really clear and open process. And it's the same way. I mean, that's the way we kind of run the station here. It's the process that's really important. And we'll get the listeners. Eventually, we'll grow, but we've got to have a very, you know, I mean, we could do smooth jazz and we could have a lot of listeners, but that's not what we want to be about. There was a second part to that question. I forgot what it was.
It had to do with your patience or impatience with board processes, given that boards obviously have, you know, we have a lot of people, we have a sort of elaborate bureaucratic process that's required to get things done. So it requires a lot of prioritization, and you don't always get to everything you'd like. So just your experience in that milieu.
You have to put some time and strength on it. I think people have to have the opportunity to weigh in and everything, but I think at some point you have to put some time constraints and the discussion needs to stop and move on, or it needs to be carried on in at another place or time or another level. But, I mean, Pacifica, I think, is really facing some real crucial situation. I mean, I've gone and watched Greg Guma video. I'm aware of kind of what's going on there, if you're wondering about that. And I think he makes some really good points. You know, I'll put that out there. I just, I think it's, you have to, you know, someone's got, I think there's got to be some kind of, I'm not sure that there's a vision out there that I can, I think there's multiple visions is the feeling I get about Pacifica. And I think it's critical that they're prioritized. And, you know, I think that the possibilities are endless. The potential is just incredible. And there's some wonderful people that I know. I don't know a lot of the people, but, I mean, I know the people who used to, I know some of the people who have gone on from affiliate stations up into Pacifica. And all my meetings with Pacifica people have been just straight up. And I think that's great. But, you know, these are critical times that we live in. And so, you know, I think there's some critical stuff that's got to happen for us to be a real factor.
Well, that leads us beautifully into the next phase, which is questions you might have for us.
Wait, Dave?
Dave, this is Ray.
Yes.
This is Wendy, and I heard Ray after me. I was trying to answer when you put us at the point to make a question, but my I was trying to get unmuted, and I got off the call.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if any...
Speaking of time limits, we have 5 minutes left for this, so we'll give Wendy and then Ray, and then...
Well, just really clear, when I got back on, I heard our candidate talking about realistic... He seemed to be aware of the time constraints, but I'm not sure if anybody told him about the 4 meetings a year and about the letter, you know... What?
I did.
And the once a month candidate. Well, there you go. I guess it's all clear.
Ray.
Yes. How you doing? I'm sorry. This is Wella Forrest from WBA in New York. I have a severe case of laryngitis. By the way, I love what I heard coming from you. I have one question about an issue that has been create attention on the board is what is your position on Mercari programming?
On what kind of programming?
I'll clarify. We have an issue about what policies will dictate whether or not local stations must carry a program that the national office decides to produce.
Okay. I don't think I'm briefed enough in that history to comment on that. That's the way I would say. I don't know. I think that the times are critical. I think that I'm not, you know, I mean, are we talking about affiliates? Are we talking about the flagship stations? You know, there are two different categories here, and I think that there might be two different sets. You know, I don't think you can make affiliates maybe carry it, but maybe you can make flagships take it. I don't know. That's something that's a discussion that has to happen, probably.
I think you're very wise not to take a position on something that's rather a complex and fraught issue. If I can interject that, if you want to ask us anything, we still have a few minutes left.
I mean, I see Pacifica as very much a larger version of running a smaller station. You still have all the multiple personalities and you have the multiple problems. That last question just relates right on down to the station level. You know, when does the station manager, when does the station program director preempt a program, programmer and put on a city council meeting? It's the same problem. It's just on a different scale. And the answers are probably very similar. That's something that I have to deal with here. And I think that's one reason why I put my name in the ring. It's not something that I really thought about, but I thought, the more I hear about Pacifica, the more I see the similarities between just running one station as to running a larger group. The problems tend to be the same, whether they're with individual stations or individual programmers or individual, technical problems. They all tend to all relate the same, and it's a tough call to make. At some point, something's got to be really important. I mean, if they start to impeach the president, I think that, you got to take a look at something like that. Part of that is, as an individual station, I'll try to be quick. As an individual station, I always go back to my mission statement. If you go back to the mission statement, and that's kind of what I was taught, have that mission in front of you and then use that as guidance. If our mission was to impeach the president, then we're going to impeach the president. You know what I mean? If our mission was to get this kind of information out, then maybe we need to look at that. That doesn't mean that there can't be different parameters and different ways of doing it. But if we need to meet our mission, and I think the mission is very important. Our mission statement at this station is all about peace and social justice and all that stuff that totally aligns with Pacifica. And it's tough. Because I have programmers doing doo-wop shows and programmers doing, all types of shows. And I got to kind of work them, get this mission. This is the mission. So, we've had trouble with hip-hop shows and trouble with, and you name it. And it's always coming back to the mission. How are we going to meet this mission? So I think it's a great time to be alive. It's, there's a lot of crap going on, but this is a great time to be alive because we really have a potential to really change things. And I think these individual stations, as we change individual people, things change. Where would I find 125 people in Sarasota to do programs on a progressive radio station, to buy into this mission statement? And part of that is because of the times we're living in right now. The times are hard. The difference between right and left is very severe. It's a great time.
Great.
Remember.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And the optimism is really appreciated. We've got to get to our. Speaking of time, we need to. Cut it off because we got to get on to our next interviews. But just to tell you, what we're going to do is we have one more interview to finish on Wednesday. Then we'll be passing a special rule of order that we need to pass on the conduct of the elections. It'll take us about 3 days to do balloting. We have 2 seats and 7 candidates, and our bylaws require single transferable balloting and then the vote count. So it'll be about a week and a half to 2 weeks. We'll let you know the outcome, and then folks from the foundation will be contacting you if you were selected to arrange for your travel to our national board meeting in New York, the 25th to the 27th of January.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much, David, and we'll be in touch one way or the other soon. We really appreciate your spend the time.
Thank you. Thank you all.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. I'll go get the next person.